there's something that we can learn from the mitzvah of Tkiyas Shofar. Essentially, Ori Yishena Mishinatzchem, wake up those that are sleeping. Listen to the sounds of the shofar. V'chafsu b'maaseichem, search your deeds. V'chazur b'tshuva v'zachru b'areichem, search your actions. Return v'zachru b'areichem, and remember your Creator. And then the Rambam continues, and because of this idea of searching your deeds, returning and remembering HaKadosh Baruch Hu, umipnei inyon zeh, because of that, nagu kol beis Yisrael, it's customary among all Jewish homes, laharbos bitztaka, to intensify, to multiply our giving of tztaka and maisim tovim and laasok b'mitzvos, to engage in mitzvos from Rosh Hashanah ad Yom HaKippurim, more so than the rest of the year. What the Rambam is teaching us is that by hearing the sounds of the shofar, one is able to wake up from his slumber, he's able to search his deeds, he's able to be reminded of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and because of that, says the Rambam, it's customary for all of us to give more charity, do more tzedakah, do more mitzvos between Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim. This statement of the Rambam is very difficult to digest, because we all know that the Rambam himself tells us, what is tshuva? Tshuva is a 3 or 4 step process. First, sheyazov achotei cheto. He has to remove himself. He has to remove himself from his sin. Then, he has to have charata. He has to regret that which he did. And then he has to make a kabbalah mikan lahaba. He has to accept for himself, from here on out, I'm going to be a different person. And therefore asks Rabbi Soloveitchik, if indeed tshuva is a 3-step process, then what does this have to do with tzedaka and maisim tovim? Mashayech riboy mitzvos u'maisim tovim le'inyan hatshuva. What does doing deeds and giving charity have to do with the idea of tshuva? Hare ein tikun lechatoyim she'osa ela b'charoto vidui v'aziva sachet. That there isn't a way to fix a person who has gone off the derech, who has veered off the path, except charoto vidui v'aziva sachet. Not mitzvos and maisim tovim. What's the point about doing maisim tovim, giving charity, if you still don't remember that there's a God? The idea is to hear the sounds of the shofar. The sounds of the shofar awaken you. And now your purpose during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva is to remove yourself from the sin, is to regret the sin, is to confess the sin, is to accept upon yourself a new, bright future of Torah and mitzvos eventually. But as of now, your focus has to be, asks Rabbi Soloveitchik, when you're awoken, now's the time during Aseres Yemei Tshuva to do tshuva. To skip the stages of tshuva, to hear the sounds of the shofar, and run to do maisim tovim and tzedaka, is analogous to waking up in the morning and forget to wash the tilas yadayim, forget to put on your tefillin, forget to say moda ani, and now you're going off to work. We're not at that stage yet. We're still at the stage of coming and accepting that there's a God and removing myself from the way I was. And again, therefore, asks Rabbi Soloveitchik, umipnei inyon zeh nagu, and because I have now been awoken, Now I'm going to come and do mitzvos and ma'asim tovim. We're skipping an entire stage of tshuva. It's almost as if you're going to the mikvah with a sheretz biyado. You're immersing yourself in a mikvah to purify yourself, except that I'm holding an insect that by definition means that I can never become a tahor. To do mitzvos, to give tzedakah, but I'm still an avarion, I'm still a sinner. It seems counterintuitive. It's not accomplishing what it is I'm supposed to accomplish. That's question number one. Question number two. The Rambam tells us in Hilchas Tshuva, Perek Aleph, Halacha Gimel. The Rambam comes and gives us the background, teaches us the infancy stages of Avraham Avinu as he was an Oved Avodah Zarah. He himself had worshipped idols, to when he was able to be makir, able to recognize and appreciate the authenticity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So says the Rambam in source number 6, when this strong one was 3 years old, he began to question. And day and night he was pondering, and he asked, how is it possible that the world exists and runs? There has to be a manig. There has to be one who is dictating the pace of the world. There has to be someone in charge. And the Rambam tells us, "V'lo hoya lo melamed v'lo modia davar." There wasn't a melamed. Avraham Avinu didn't have a teacher. After all, his parents were Ovdei Avodah Zarah. He himself was an Ovid Avodah Zarah. Until finally, he came to be makir. He came to appreciate. At the age of 40 years old, he came to recognize that there's a Boro, there's a creator of the world. And says the Rambam, Kevan shehikir v'yeda, since he recognized and knew, hiskil lahashiv tshuvos al b'nei or kazdim, he began to come and answer all of the questions of the inhabitants of Or Kazdim. And he told them, what you're doing is not the derech ha'emes, it's not the proper way. Shatem holchim ba, v'shiber ha'tzlamim. He broke all of the idols, v'hiskil odia la'am. And he began to tell the people of Or Kazdim, she'ein ro'oy la'avod ela la'oka ha'olam, that the only being that you should be bowing down to and serving is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'lo ro'oy lihishtachavos la'akriv. It's only to him that you should bow down and bring karbonos to. And then the Rambam continues. And the Rambam says that it was proper what Avraham Avinu done. V'roi la'aved u'lishaber kol la'hatsuros, and it was proper and fit and it was deserving for Avraham Avinu to break all of the idols of Or Kazdim, k'dei shelo yitu bohen, so that the people, the future generations, should not make the same mistake that these, the previous generation, made by serving other gods other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then the Rambam continues. And the Rambam says, now it was getting out that he was breaking these idols and he was teaching people about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What happened? Nimrod came and threw him into the furnace, into the Kivshon HaEsh. And obviously, V'naselo Neis V'yatzel Charon, a great miracle happened and he escaped and he went to Charon. And then the Rambam continues, V'hiskil La'amod V'likro. And he began to stand and to announce, B'kol Godol L'chol Ha'olam. He began to announce to the entire world again, U'lahodiyam Shiyesh Sham Eloka Echad. There's one God in the world, V'lo Roi Lavod, and to him you should bow down to. And this is what he had done. He went from city to city, talking about this idea of Hashem Echad, one God at the exclusion of all other types of deities. And ultimately, that's how Beis Avram was created. He was able to convince hordes and thousands of people to believe in his lifestyle, his way of life. But there's one glaring omission that the Rambam fails to mention. And that is, why is it when Avram Avinu went to Haran after he escaped the furnace of Or Kasdim? Why when he went to Haran and began to teach the people about HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why does the Rambam not mention that he broke the idols of the inhabitants of Haran like he broke the idols of the inhabitants of Or Kasdim? After all, the Rambam tells us the reason why he broke the idols was because he didn't want the future generations to make the same mistake that the prior generations had made. And therefore, let us remove idolatry from the equation. He removed it by Or Kasdim. Why when he went to Haran? And again, he was teaching people about one God. They had never heard such a concept. They were also bowing down to idols. Why did he break their idols? Wasn't he concerned that they would come back to their ineffective ways? That they would come back and serve idols like he was concerned by Or Kasdim? Why, when he was in Haran, and after he was teaching the people, why didn't he break the tselem, the idols of the inhabitants of Haran, like he had broken the idols of the inhabitants of Or Kasdim? And my third and final question, focusing now on Torah. We focused on tshuva. We focused on avodas kochavim. And now we're going to focus on Torah, which again is nichlal. If one learns Torah, it's as if he's mekayim, he fulfills the entirety of the Torah. The Mishnah in Meseches Sukkah Daf Chof Hei Amud Beis teaches us, Shluchei mitzvah are peturin min hasukkah. That a person that is engaged in a mitzvah is exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah. And Rashi explains the reason why he's exempt. Detridim v'do'agim b'machsheves ha-mitzvah. That he's so focused on this particular mitzvah that he's engaged in, he's incapable of worrying about other mitzvos. This concept is referred to as one that is oseg min ha-mitzvah, one that is engaged in one mitzvah, is exempt from another mitzvah. This person that is acting as an agent for a mitzvah, this is a person that is going to accomplish a mitzvah. Because he is so focused on that mitzvah, he's exempt even from the mitzvah of sukkah. Because of the yesod, the klal of osek min ha-mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah. But it's not entirely true. Because the Rambam himself teaches us in Hilchos Talmud Torah Perek Gimel that if a person has in front of him one mitzvah and he's studying Torah, the Rambam tells us if there's no one else to do that other mitzvah, if there's no one else to do that mitzvah, he has to stop what he's doing. He has to stop his learning. And he has to go and do that mitzvah. And only then, says the Rambam, after he finishes that mitzvah, v'yachzer l'talmudo, then he returns back to his studies. The obvious question that many people grapple with is what about the idea of osek min ha-mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah? We say that a person is exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah if he's going off to do another mitzvah. So why don't we give the same understanding to Talmud Torah? I'm sitting and learning Torah. And obviously we know, ein lecha mitzvah, says the Rambam, ein lecha mitzvah v'chol ha-mitzvos kulam. There isn't a mitzvah in the entire Torah that's shekula, that's equal to Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah is the greatest mitzvah that we have. And yet, if there's another mitzvah that needs to be done, I stop my learning, I engage in that mitzvah, and then I come back to learn. But what about osek min ha-mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah? What about when I'm engaged in one mitzvah, I'm exempt from another? I should be exempt from that mitzvah because I'm learning Torah right now. That's a mitzvah. I'm focused on this mitzvah. I can't possibly accomplish another mitzvah. That indeed is true, except for the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah requires that you stop your learning, engage in another mitzvah, and then come back to learn. Why? Why is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah different when seemingly it should be the mitzvah that I should never stop? Because ein lecha mitzvah, there isn't a greater mitzvah than the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So those were our three questions, focusing on three mitzvos that encompass the entire Torah. The Mabit writes that when a person does tshuva, when he repents as if he's coming and accomplishing the entire Torah, when a person worships idols, it's as if he's negating the entire Torah. And when a person learns Torah, it's as if he's accomplishing the entirety of the Torah. So we focused on those three mitzvos as a response to the pandemic that has engulfed the entirety of the world. And now let's try to offer insight. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Chulin that Rabbi Chanina wasn't afraid of witchcraft. There was a witch that tried to scare Rabbi Chanina with some witchcraft, with some kishuf. And Rabbi Chanina said he wasn't worried because of the concept of Ein Od Milvado, that there's no one other than Hashem. Hashem will protect. So the Nevesh HaChaim writes beautifully, and he says as follows in source number 10. V'lachein gam Rabbi Chanina as well. Lo sheboteach al schus kedushas torasu maisav hamarubim. Rabbi Chanina wasn't afraid because of his Torah maisin tovim. That's not what allowed him to be at ease. Rather, what allowed him to not be afraid of kishuf, of witchcraft, was shezos ho'emuna kavua belibo. That he had emuna that was entrenched in his heart. She'ein od milvado yisborach shum koach klal. That there isn't another being that has the power that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has. V'hidbik atzmo, says Rav Chaim V'lozhin. V'hidbik atzmo b'kedushas machshavoso. And he connected himself to the holiness of his thought. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Ein Od Milvado. That he's an Adon Yochid Hamelei Ko'olamim. That he's an Adon, that he's a singular master over all of the worlds and all of creation. Ve'ein kan shum shlito u'metzias koach acher klal. And there's no other being or power that has control other than Hashem. And therefore, says Rav Chaim V'lozhin, L'chein haya nachon libo batuach bazeh. Therefore, he was with great conviction and certainty that if he believes in Ein Od Milvado, that would be enough to negate this kishuf, this witchcraft. Shelo yishlutu ala pu'ulos hakshafim. That all of this kishuf, all of this black magic, wouldn't have its intended impact, effect on him. Because of Ein Od Milvado. And then he continues and he says, Ube'emes hu inyan gadol v'skula nifla. And in truth, that this has tremendous value. There's something behind this concept. Lahaser ulabatel me'olav, to remove and to nullify from upon him all of the other entities and all of the other powers of the world. Shelo yichlu lishlot bo, that they can never overcome him and never make an impact, an impression, never make a dent on that person that believes in Ein Od Milvado. How do we understand that? How do we understand this concept of Ein Od Milvado? Just because I have a belief that God is the only being in the world, black magic can have an impact? Is it like the academics want to suggest mind power is one of the strongest and most useful powers you possess? This power, together with your imagination, writes Remez Sasson, mind power, the power of thoughts, this power together with your imagination can create success or failure, happiness or unhappiness, opportunities or obstacles? Is it all about what we think? Are our thoughts our main ingredient? And when we think something, then we can will it to be? Does that mean that if I decide tonight that I'm going to focus and meditate, that I should win the lottery, that I'm going to be able to channel my inner thoughts and somehow be able to create the winning numbers? Of course not. But yet comes along the Gemara and teaches us that if a person is able to think and believe Ein Od Milvado, somehow it has such an impact that nothing can come and destroy or effect or harm or hurt because of this emuna pshuta, this simple idea of Ein Od Milvado. How does it work? It can't simply be mind. It has to be something else, something much more powerful. In order to answer this question, we have to look at Parshas Noach. The Torah tells us, Vayavo Noach, that Noach came into the Teva, Vayavo Noach Ubana V'ishto, that Noach and his sons and his wife and daughters-in-law all came with him to the Teva. And Rashi comes and says, what does that mean? What does that mean that he came into the Teva, B'pnei Mehamabel, in the face of the water of this Mabel? So Rashi comes and tells us, Af Noach Miktane Emuna Haya, that Noach was from one of those people that had small amount of belief. Haya Maimin, he was a believer, Ve'eno Maimin. He believed, but he didn't believe Sheyavo HaMabul, that the Mabul would come. And therefore, he didn't enter the Teva until the water was right in his face. And asks the Oev Yisrael, how is that possible to suggest that Noach Ish Tzadik, Noach was an Ish Tzadik, and the Gemara tells us, a Tzadik is defined by his Emunah. Clearly, Noach had great Emunah, that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say something, it's going to come to fruition. So how does Rashi understand? How can Rashi come and quote this Maimer Chazal by telling us that he was from the Tani Emunah? He didn't have so much Emunah. Bahalo Pelagodol asks the Oy of Yisrael, It's a pelag gadol lachshod es Noach hatzadik to suspect that Noach hatzadik shahaya viktani emuna b'Hashem yisbara chas v'shalom. And therefore, the Oy Yisrael writes, "Venirely, it appears to me, dihine tevas emuna, that the word emuna has two definitions, two ways to understand the word emuna. The first is kipshuto, the simplistic way, the simple way, that I believe, shebevada yikach, I believe that something is." But then there's another way to understand it, a more profound way, to add, to augment the simplistic way. And that is that the word emuna is from the word vayihi omen es hadasa, that he had raised in Megillas Esther, referring to Mordechai, that he was the omen, he raised and brought up and drew hadasa. The hu lashon, it comes from the word of hamshacha v'gidul, to pull, to raise. And he writes, ki be'emuna yesh koach zeh. Emuna has this ability, she'al yidei ha'emuna, that through emuna, through belief, yimshoch hadavar hazeh mimkoro v'yavo, through believing, it has the ability to draw, to bring out from its source, and it will come. Hainu ayidei shehu maimin b'Hashem. By believing in Hashem, uboteach bo be'emuna shlema, and you believe in Him, be'emuna shlema, a complete belief, as nimshach hadavar, whatever it is that now you want to come to fruition, it will come b'shleimus, because you believe in Hashem so greatly. Because you believe that everything He says and all that He does will come to fruition. Ultimately, that which He says will come, indeed will come, and if you believe it, it will come. And that, says the Oy Yisrael, is how we understand Noach was from the Kanei Emuna. What does that mean? That he believed, but he didn't believe. He didn't want to believe. He says that Noach understood the power of Emuna. Noach understood that if he believed that it was going to come, then indeed his belief would bring it. Because Emuna has the power to bring that which you believe. If you believe in Hashem, that belief has the ability to draw and to bring forth and to create a new reality. And therefore, he didn't want to believe. Because if he would have believed that the Mabul would come, then indeed it would absolutely come. And Noah didn't want the world to be destroyed because of his belief. And therefore, he was from the Tane Emuna. Now, unlike Emuna, which has a built-in Hamshacha, has a built-in Maisa, it has a built-in action to the thought itself, every other transformative machshava, any other transformative thought, any other transformative experience that I live in my life, for that transformative experience to have an impact, an effect, for it to create something, I need to do my own pe'ula, my own action for that transformative experience or thought to have its greatest impact. So unlike Emuna that has within it, built in a pe'ula, an action, that when I believe something, it will come to fruition because I believe it. Every other transformative experience, any other transformative thought, for it to have its greatest intended impact on that person experiencing that transformative idea, for it to work, they now have to do their own pe'ula, their own action, their own maisa. And that is exactly why, when it comes to Talmud Torah, unlike any other mitzvah, I stop my learning and I do a mitzvah. I stop my learning not because the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is less significant. It's because it's the most significant mitzvah. When I'm learning Torah Hashem, I am having a dialogue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm speaking with Hashem. There's no greater, more transformative experience than to sit and learn Torah. But for that transformative experience to have its intended impact, I need an action to concretize that experience. So I'm learning, and for that learning to impact my kishkas, that now I am a different person, I have to stop my learning because I need a maisa to concretize. I need an action to concretize that thought, to make it real, to make it part of who I am. And then what does the Rambam say after that? The Rambam says, V'yachser l'talmudo. You have to go back to learn. Because I've already had the transformative experience now confirmed within me. I've done a maisa. I've done a mitzvah that shows that the Torah that I'm learning is real. I'm putting into practice. It's impacting my very kishkas. But once I finish, and I've already had that transformative experience now reaffirmed and confirmed within me, now I have to go back to learn. And that is precisely the reason why Avram Avinu only broke the idols by Or Kasdim and not by Haran. Because Avram Avinu was searching. Avraham Avinu was that Oved Avodah Zarah. He was that idolater that was transgressing the entire Torah because he was an idolater. He was an idol worshiper. And then he came to the Emes. He was Makir Boro. He understood HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He had a transformative experience of being able to see that there's one God in the world at the exclusion of any other being. That transformed him. That thought was an experience that potentially can change him. Except that he needed one thing. For a transformative experience to be concretized into who you are, that this is who I really am, Avraham Avinu needed a maisa, he needed an action, he needed a pe'ula. And therefore, he had to break the idols, not only for the inhabitants of Or Kasdim, but he was one of the inhabitants of Or Kasdim. Once he did that pe'ula, once he did that action and confirmed that transformative experience, when he went to Haran, he didn't need it any longer. He already had inculcated in himself that that transformative experience changed me and stayed with me because I had a pe'ula, an action that was tied to that transformative experience. And that is now how we understand the Rambam. The Rambam is telling us that the shofar is supposed to awaken us. It's supposed to cause us to search our deeds, to repent and to remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam is clearly talking about that you are going to engage in tshuva. He says those words, v'chazru b'tshuva. But the Rambam continues. And the Rambam says, for tshuva to have its greatest impact, for it not just to be a fleeting thought, an epiphany that is here today and gone tomorrow, for the tshuva to be real and impactful and internalized, that now I am a different person. Umipnei inyon zeh, and because of that, you need a maisa. You need to act immediately that the transformative experience has changed you. Not some fleeting idea or thoughts that are only relegated to when you hear the shofar. But it's something that now is who I am. I am a different person. Yesterday I was meshukatz, I was disgusting, but today I'm in awe and a nechman, I'm beloved before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But for that to happen, in conjunction with that experience, I need a pe'ula, a maisa of maisim tovim in staka, to now make that experience, now who I am, and very, very real. So unlike emuna, where it's built in, the maisa, the pe'ula, it's built into the thought. When I think it, it comes to be. There's a pe'ula attached. When it comes to the three mitzvos that encompass the entirety of the Torah, I need to engage my transformative experience. I need to do a maisa. I have to do an action that takes it from a fleeting thought to this is who I really, really am. There's no question. There's no question about it. Over the last many, many months, we have all been transformed through our experiences. We have had these transformative experiences. That is what a magefa, that is what a plague does. After all, the Torah HaKadosha teaches us, by the third plague, Vayasu kein hachartumim bilateim lahotzi ezakinim, that the chartumim, the magicians of Paro, they tried to draw out the lice below yochlu. They weren't able to. Vayomru hachartumim, the magicians said to Paro, Etzba Elokim hi, that this is the hand of God. A magefa has the ability of creating a transformative experience where we're able to see the Yad Hashem. We're able to see the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If the magicians of Paro, who clearly did not believe in a God, were able to see Etzba Elokim, for our magefa, for our plague, for our pandemic, for our COVID-19 corona, we are able to point and say, Etzba Elokim hi, this is the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is no greater transformative thought that one can possibly have than to actually see the hand of Hashem. An entire world turned upside down. The most cultured, advanced society in the history of the world is totally dumbfounded, not able to understand this plague. Every day there's a new theory. No one really knows. That's a transformative experience to where I thought that I am in control. Now I am a transformed being to realize that it's Etzba Elokim He. But as we had just learned, with a transformative experience, there needs to be a pa'ula. There needs to be an action. For us simply to just think about a transformative experience without putting into practice actions, then all it is a fleeting thought that has no mamashos, that has nothing substantial. It's unsustainable. And it's actually an avera. To take this opportunity of witnessing Hashem and not changing from this experience, from not doing a pa'ula, an action, it's actually an avera, a sin. The Torah tells us, Tzav es Aaron ve es bonav lemor, zos Torah's ha'ola. Command Aaron and his son, saying, this is the Torah of the Ola. And Rashi comes and tells us that the word Tzav is teaching us this idea of zeros, miyad l'doros, that you have to do this mitzvah with alacrity. It has to be with a gusto, with an excitement, with a passion. What's the Torah's ha'ola? Why does one bring an ola, says the Medrash? For a machshava ra, for a bad thought. So the Divrei Yisrael explains something a little bit different. He says, not only do you have to bring a karbon when you have hirhure ra, when you have bad thoughts come into your mind, you also are obligated to bring a karbon ola when hirhure tov, when good thoughts come into your mind as well. And I want to read to you his words. He writes, ki yesh lo b'chol yom, every day, Eza hear her tov, viriusa deliba. There are always these thoughts, these kind thoughts, and these inspiring thoughts that enter your heart. V'cheshek la'avodas habore, and you desire to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's similar, analogous, v'hu habaskol hamachrezes b'chol yom. It's that baskol that announces every single day that one should do tshuva. We all feel and have those experiences, where today I'm going to be different. This is what I want to accomplish. Ha'ikar, he continues and he says, ki hira hatov, the thoughts, what happens? Shenofal b'machshavaso, they fall as only thoughts. And therefore he writes, tzarech sheyotze miyad mikolach el hapoel, you have to take those thoughts, the potential, and you have to make it reality. Be'eza uvda tova, in some good way. Ube'im lav, and if not, hu kichalom ya'of u'chanan chalav in evad. It's like a fleeting dream. It's like a cloud that disperses. There's no mamashos, it's not sustainable. For a person to have a thought, to be witness to something transformative, and not to put it into practice, that person has to come and bring a karbon ola. He has to bring a karbon ola. And therefore, we have to act. We have to be decisive. We have to, with conviction, if we want this machshava of Etzba Elokim Hi to be real, sustainable, where I live my life with that mantra of Etzba Elokim, I need to immediately attach a pa'ula, a ma'isa, that takes this from a hirhar tuva, from a good thought, to a wonderful deed. So what do? First, what we need to do is we have to live our lives appreciating and understanding Ein Od Milvada. We have to take every aspect of our lives and incorporate emuna into those machshavos. Because the reality is, it's very, very difficult. It's very, very difficult to take an experience and bring it l'maisa. So I suggest, take that which is already built in for us and incorporate that into every aspect of our lives. Let me give you an example. The Gemara Maseches Kedushin Daf Pei Amud Beis teaches us. Ma Yisonein Odom Chai. What is a person doing mourning over life? And Rashi explains that to me. Lama yisonein adam chai. Why is a living person mourning? Lama yisraim adam al hakoros habos alav. Why is a person complaining over events that are happening in his life? Acher kol hachesed, after all of the kindness, shani ose imo, that I'm doing for him, shenosati lo chayim, I'm giving him life, velo havesi olav misa, and I haven't given him death. What the Gemara is teaching us is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bewildered with our attitude of complaining. That's what we do. We complain. Life is so hard. It's so difficult. I'm not able to have the chasana that I want to have because of this pandemic. I wanted to have that type of bar mitzvah. But this COVID got in the way. V'chule, v'chule. It's so difficult. The children are home. Too much on top of each other. I need some alone time. V'chule, v'chule. If we would stop and think, seriously? We're complaining about the wedding? About the bar mitzvah? We're complaining that we're stuck home and we can't go away for vacation? Seriously? That's taking what has happened in the world, that possibility of being transformed, and throwing it in the garbage, flushing it down the toilet. But if we recognize all the good that we have, if we take this tumultuous world that we live in and recognize and appreciate the awesomeness of God, and that I have so much to be thankful for in spite of all of these challenges. I have life. Then that's taking this experience and allowing this experience to transform me from a selfish person to a person who is broad and big and is able to expand and see Yad Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here with me. He's given me life. We can't waste these moments. We can't waste these experiences. How many times are we able to see Yad Hashem so clearly in our lives? Where even the most atheist of people have come to acknowledge or accept that there's something beyond them. It can't be business as usual, where we have a quarantine, a COVID-19. Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. They ran out of milk in the supermarket. It's our opportunity to change our perspective, a maisa, an action, to do something with these last 6-8 months that changes us, that guides us, that redefines us. That's the way to negate the corona. We ask 3 questions. 2 mitzvos asay, 1 mitzvah los asay, that are nichlal, that incorporate, that encompass the entire Torah, as COVID-19 encompassed the entire world, being a pandemic that impacted the entire world. We asked 3 questions. The first was by tshuva. If the idea of tshuva is charata, zivas achet, kabbalah mikan lahaba vidoy. So why does the Rambam tell us that once we are awoken on Rosh Hashanah, we're now doing mitzvos and ma'asim tovim? And the next question we asked, why is it that the Rambam only details and discusses Avraham Avinu breaking, shattering the idols in Or Kasdim and not in Charan? If the same reason that applied to our cousin would certainly apply to Charan as well, so that the future generations shouldn't be impacted and perhaps veer off if there are idols around in that community. And the 3rd question we asked, and we said that there's a concept, there's an idea of Yasok mitzvah, Osek min a mitzvah, Potter min a mitzvah, that when a person engages in one mitzvah, he's exempt from another mitzvah. Well, then why does that not apply to Talmud Torah, the greatest mitzvot of all? And we said, because when I have a transformative experience, unlike Emunah, for that experience to be truly able to impact and affect me, that I'm a changed person, it needs a pe'ula. It needs an action tied to it. Which is why we do Ma'asim Tovim after we do Tshuva. And why Avraham Avinu had to break the idols, but once he broke the idols, it wasn't necessary any longer in Charan. And why it is that when I learn Torah, I stop my learning, I do a Ma'asim, and then I go back to learn. And that's why during COVID-19, the coronavirus, the pandemic that changed the entire world, it has to change us as well. Have a Gemar Chasima Tova. Have a good Ben Shior, and Amir Sashem, we should be able to be transformed. The world should be transformed. Soon Amir Sashem will together be rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. Amen.